Luke had given her his usual tour of her room before leaving her on her own. She now knew the location of the bathroom, how to operate the shower, and the fact that the towels were hidden away at shoulder level in the corner of the room above the radiator. He had warned her of the slight step at the door and the television placed dangerously at head height on a bracket attached to the end wall. He hadn't thought to warn her about the sharp corners of the bedside table, but she didn't hold it against him. After a few moments, the pain diminished, and she stood up again, felt cautiously for the offending bedside table, and, avoiding it, headed for the window rather more carefully this time. The heating was full on, and it was boiling in the room. Three paces, and she reached the curtains. The window was old traditional French, with an oval metal handle set in the middle. She located it and gave it a hefty twist. With a screech of protest, the sashes swung back towards her, and a breath of cold mountain air swept in. Along with it came the sound of an owl, out there, somewhere in the hotel grounds. She stood there for a few moments, breathing in the night air and reflecting on the events of the past few weeks. There was no doubt in her mind. Her decision to follow the pilgrimage route to Compostela had been the best she had made for years. She could genuinely say that, for the first time since the accident, there had been a smile on her face every single day of this amazing trip. She returned to the bed and sat down again. Reaching into her bag, she located her laptop and switched it on. The screen reader software was amazing. This managed to read the words on the computer screen straight into her headphones, and even gave her the option of skipping about the screen. It had proved to be a liberation for her. She went to her favourite website dealing with the Pilgrim's Way, and had just started to learn more about tomorrow's stage of the journey, when her phone rang.
"Hi, Amy. It's me."
"Hi, Jude." They rang each other most evenings for a rundown of the day's events. "Good to hear your voice. All well?"
"They're saying it's the coldest April in London for 100 years. Otherwise, I'm fine. How are things with you?"
Amy lay back against the pillow. "We've reached the mountains, and we've checked into a hotel just on the French side of the Pyrenees." She went on to tell Judy about their day driving through rural France, stopping here and there to visit chateaux, churches, and other places that took their fancy. For two medievalists, this part of the world was a treasure trove of historical sites. Thinking back, it had been a lot of fun. Some of her enthusiasm must have reached across the channel.
"To be honest, I'm having a whale of a time."
"That's great. You certainly sound pretty bubbly tonight. Is it the mountain air or your hunky guide?"
"I couldn't possibly say, Jude."
She had introduced Luke to Judy a month ago, when they were making the first arrangements for the trip, and had made sure she got a full and frank appraisal of him. No unsightly blemishes, the correct number of ears, eyes, and fingers, and a face that wouldn't scare little children. She might not be able to see him, but other people would.
"After all," she had told Judy, "a girl's got her reputation to think of."
Now, she found herself smiling as she replied.
"We're getting along just fine. He knows all about the history of the pilgrimage, and he's very good at descriptions of the places we're going through.
Mind you, he's rubbish at names of things like cheeses and desserts. He can just about recognise creme caramel, but that's it."
"So, have you found out all about him?"
"Well, I know he's done his PhD, and he spent some time living in Africa. Mind you, Father Timothy told me that way back. But more than that, I don't really know. He doesn't like talking about himself at all."
"So no mention of a wife or a girlfriend? I mean, you need to know what you're up against, don't you?"
"No, I don't, Jude. His personal life's of no interest to me at all." She surreptitiously touched her nose to check.